here. Book of Philemon. This is a great book. I know you say that they're all great books, but this is one of my favorite books in the Bible. You say it's because it's short. No, that's not the only reason. So, hopefully you did your assignment this week. Hopefully you read through the book of Philemon, or you're planning on reading through the book of Philemon. Very short. We've been spoiled a little bit because the books have been short here the last month or so. Next week when we get to Hebrews, a little bit longer. So you're going to have to work a little bit longer and harder to get to that. But then you have another few more short books before we get to the book of Revelation. Now, once again, there's... Even though it's a little book, there is so much inside this little book that we can learn. There's a lot of typologies. There's a lot of examples. Hopefully, we can be able to do it justice in this 30-minute time period that we have here. And there's a lot of things we like to take a look at. And there are a couple of things we're going to do a little differently. Usually, we talk mostly about the eternal permanent value. And at the end, we just kind of tack on the living truth. Today, we're going to look at the eternal permanent value of a little bit, and then we're going to try to add the permanent truth in there for a little bit longer. But it's a wonderful book. Theme verses we chose, it says, "If thou count me therefore a partner." Paul here is writing to Philemon. Philemon is a rich businessman that's living in Colossae. One of his slaves had run away. Paul had met him. When Paul had seen him, Paul met the slave, won the slave to Christ. And now Paul is writing a letter to his friend Philemon, who I believe he also won to the Lord. Paul won Philemon to the Lord. He's saying, "If thou count me therefore a partner." He's saying, look, if we are partnering together in this ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's saying, I want you to do something for me. I want you to receive him as myself. Paul is saying, I want you to take and look at Onesimus, which is the name of the slave, as you're looking at myself. Treat him the way you would treat me. He says, if he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Paul's saying, look, if he's done anything wrong, if he owes you anything, most people believe that he actually stole some money when he ran away. In the very least, he stole the possession of himself and the fact that he did not do the work he was supposed to do those years that he was gone. Paul says, look, put that on my account. He says, I have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how that thou owest me unto me even thy own self. Besides, now, this is one of the principles you're going to get in here. You're going to see the Christian life being worked out. You're going to see in Paul's life, you're going to see in Philemon's life, and Onesimus' life, you're going to see what it means to have God's grace on your life and let your Christian life be working out and demonstrating. Paul is saying here that earlier he says, I want you to do this willingly. I'm not going to command you to do it. Paul's saying, I want you to do this even though you owe me something, Philemon. I'm not going to try to have you to do it because you owe me something. I want you to do it because you love God. And there's a lot of different things here. And let's go ahead and look at this book. Let's go ahead and actually read the entire book. And I know you say, the entire book. Yes, the entire book. And before you say, what chapter are we starting at? There's only one chapter. So, okay. Philemon, verse number one. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our believer, Apphia. Now, many people believe this is his wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. Many people believe this is his son, and to the church in thy house. You see here, it's interesting. They have church in their house. That's the way things were back till probably about 300, after 300 AD. Grace to you. This is the greeting he gives oftentimes. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. You see here that, once again, Paul is praying for this man. Every time he hears this man's name mentioned, he prays for him. Hearing of thy love, he begins to talk about Philemon's testimony. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He's saying, look, we're encouraged because of the work that you're doing. Verse number 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, which is that which is convenient. He's saying, look, I could tell you, I want you to join me. I could tell you that I want you to do this, but he's saying, I don't want to have to tell you. I don't want to have to command you. He's saying, verse number 9, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech you. He says, I'm asking you, I'm begging you. He says, I'm not commanding you to something. I want you to do it out of love. Being such as one as Paul the age, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now he's referring to, he had won this man to Christ. When he calls him a son, he's referring to the fact that it's a spiritual son, not in the fact that it's a physical son. Verse number 11, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Onesimus, once again, was a slave. He had ran away, and now it was unprofitable to Philemon in that part. But now Paul is sending him back so he can be profitable. Verse number 12, whom I have sent again, now therefore receive him, that is my own bowels. And bowels is referring to the heart, referring to the emotional side of things. He's saying it's that he is one of his, whom I have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul says, I would have liked for Onesimus to stay with me. I needed someone like him that was willing to serve. But when I found out he was yours, I had to send him back to you. But without thy mind would I do nothing. He says, I wasn't going to do that without asking you. That thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. If Paul would have written a letter and said, hey, look, Philemon, I got Onesimus here and I want to keep him here. Is that okay? Of course, Philemon would have had felt like he had to do that. But the fact that Onesimus is standing right before Philemon, he has the choice now to make it on his own decision. Verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Paul obviously is looking by faith at things, saying that this happened for a reason. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. In verse 17 he says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. He's saying, look, let me find joy because you do this. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. He has faith that because of Philemon's testimony and because of Philemon's works, that he is not only going to do this, but Paul is thinking, I think here, he's buttering him up, saying, I know you're going to do this, but you're even going to do more. Maybe he's asking Onesimus for his freedom. Maybe he's asking for Onesimus to come back to Paul. He said, but withal, prepare for me also a lodging. Now, Paul's in prison here. This is one of the prison epistles. It was written the same time that Philippians, Ephesians, and Colossians was written. He says, but withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. And then it closes there, a couple of different things, talking about some of the different people saying goodbye to. Let's look here at this book. And there's, like I said, for the sake of time, we're not going to be able to dive into all of it really, really deep. But I think one of the first things we do is we need to get the occasion of the letter to understand what's going on here. This is one of the prison epistles. It's kind of interesting. In Philippians, Ephesians, and Colossians, you have talk about love. You have talk about rejoicing. You have talk about who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ did. And in the story of Philemon, what you have here is this: all these books living out the things that it has already learned these things. Onesimus, which his name means profitable, was a slave of Philemon, a Christian of Colossae. He had robbed his master, fled to Rome. While in Rome, Paul being a prisoner. Now, we don't really know whether or not Paul was sitting in a jail cell or a dungeon or whatever, but we know he was in chains. Maybe Onesimus had been captured, and they don't know why he was captured, but maybe he was captured and then Paul won him to Christ while he was in prison with him. Or maybe in the past, Paul was under house arrest many times and Onesimus came to his house. Now, Paul, he's sending him back to Philemon, but he's sending him back with this letter. This book is of priceless value. If you take time and look at it, maybe someday we'll go through the entire book verse by verse and look and go over some of these things a little bit deeper. But I want you to understand a little bit about the background here. In the Roman government, there was a ton of slaves. Probably about 60% of the Roman Empire was slaves. And back then, you know, they would treat the better educated slaves, those that were skilled maybe in medicine, those that were clerks, those that were, you know, they would take care of them. But the every common day worker they treated him pretty horribly. It's told about how they would, rebellious slaves, many times would be crucified for what they did for leaving. Sometimes they would be crucified for petty theft, just so that way they could teach the world and the other slaves not to rebel and not to steal. Now, it even talks about stories in history, how slaves will revolt against their masters and even take over cities. There is once in Sicily, rebellious slaves, some 60,000 strong, rose against their lot, slew their master, captured towns, and set up kingdom. It took Rome several years to just subdue them. Now, to help you understand, this is probably one of the reasons why Onesimus ran away. But also, we got to remember what Paul is asking Philemon to do here. Now, back then, if you had a slave and he did wrong, you had to punish him. You had to teach them a lesson. If not, you were injuring everyone else who was the master and the slaves. And Paul is asking Philemon to do something above and beyond what would be considered normal. And here, in this story, we're going to see what Paul is asking, but also we're going to see how this kind of works together with Jesus Christ and us. Consider some interesting facts about Philemon. As we mentioned also, his wife is probably mentioned in verse number 2. Also, his son probably there too.